Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State. In the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being a man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action, and about the gospel of the kingdom, Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Now, today we've got a big announcement. And I'm going to save that until after the briefing. We got a big announcement today, and I'll repeat it at the end. Many of you have kind of been waiting for that, and I look forward to where God is moving right now and what he is bringing together here in this area. As you know, we've been the tip of the spear for a very long time here in the American Readout, along with some very fine people that are part of the Patriot movement, and now we are going to the next level, and it's exciting. It's very exciting. So, from the front, your daily intelligence briefing from the international front. Wow. More and more rockets over Israel. And then Israel launched an operation into Gaza. And that is winding down now, although it looks like they may be getting close to a formal ceasefire if they haven't done it already. Hamas operationalized in Israel, and now Hamas is operational here in the United States of America. This Arab-Israeli-Palestinian confrontation regarding Israel is interesting. You've got to understand it from the context of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood is very clearly aligned with Turkey and the Palestinian Authority. And so when you hear Hamas, the Muslim Brotherhood, Turkey, just think that immediately. Other Arab countries, such as Saudi Arabia, who helped to bring this forward to maybe a peaceful conclusion, are aligning with the United States. So there's this new Cold War in the Middle East that's happening. And this new Cold War has Turkey and Iran aligned on one side, with Russia helping them out, and the Chinese to a certain extent, versus the United States, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, etc. So, this is what we were talking about a few months ago, that they were going to try to gin a war up in the Middle East. Yes, that's what's going to happen. It's going to continue. This is their plan, to gin it up in the Middle East, eventually where U.S. troops have to be deployed. So we'll see where this goes from here, but Iran is in the news, and all of a sudden they're not in the news. Now Hamas is in the news, now they're not in the news, and then Iran's back in the news. And you see how this keeps going back and forth. The bottom line is that this block coming against Israel, the United States, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt is going to continue to gin things up in the Middle East, and so are the communists. Communists have always wanted the Islamic world to be a buffer against the United States of America. This came from plans under Andropov and Brezhnev, which was detailed in a book called Disinformation by General Mihai Pachipa. Now, General Pachipa just passed away here a few months ago. Fantastic book, but it outlined what this strategy was to use Middle Eastern groups as a buffer against the United States of America. And here we just kind of see it happening again, where the Chinese are trying to foment chaos on all fronts, And eventually we may see where the Chinese and the Russians move at the same time. So the Russians try to move into part of Ukraine. The Chinese move into something else at the same time, because the United States looks so weak right now with the pretender in the White House. So just keep watching what is happening over there and understand it from that context. Which brings us to the next thing, and this is the National Front. And I want to, man, there is a lot on the National Front. But first, good news. Wisconsin, this is coming to us from the National File. Wisconsin officially launches audit of the 2020 election. Wisconsin becomes the next state to audit the 2020 election as voters still question the legitimacy of Joe Biden's White House. You think? Newsmax reporter Emerald Robinson, and she's been doing a fantastic job, announced on Twitter the state of Wisconsin authorized an audit of the 2020 elections. This is after what they're beginning to find in Arizona. And, oh, that's so weird. Dominion won't give up the passwords. Why? Because as soon as they give up the passwords and the audit's done on the code, they'll know for sure. And, oh, by the way, it might then be revealed conclusively that the Chinese Communist Party had financial control over Dominion, maybe. Question mark. We got to answer these questions. Did the Chinese Communist Party, does the Chinese Communist Party have access to their testing systems? These are questions that need to be answered as part of these audits. And the fact they're not giving up passwords raises a lot of more questions and a lot more suspicion. No question about that. All right. Also on the national front, inflation is here, actually. It's coming to us from The New American. Economists warn of severe recession. I love how we kind of dance around this issue a little bit. Okay. So a surge of consumer demand unleashed by government stimulus and fewer economic restrictions is putting a strain on the global supply chains. All right, I'm going to stop there for a second. Now, back in the 1970s, where, again, the Andropov Brezhnev plans were being put in place, there was a plan that was briefed to the FBI back then in regards to the communists trying to infiltrate key points in our supply chain. Now, I'm not going to name what those are right now. Some of you have heard me name these things privately when I'm giving presentations, but key points of the supply chain. And then at the same moment, boom, try to cut the supply chain in the United States of America to create an artificial scarcity, shortages, panics, etc. Right? And then this would be combined with cyber attacks on critical infrastructure as well. Okay, so right now, inflation is also part of this. Now, inflation is devaluation of the currency. Here's a quote from the article. Manufacturers and other hard-hit industries are struggling to get back up and running, causing supply shortages and raising costs. A labor shortage caused in part by the generous unemployment benefits. I want you to hear that. The labor shortage caused in part by the generous unemployment benefits paid by the pretender's administration is another factor that hinders recovery. Prices for basic materials ranging from lumber to palm oil have risen dramatically. Now, this inflation, this devaluation of currency, causes the price of goods to go up in real time. And right now, as we go into the summer and then into the winter, there's a very serious issue if something else may impact our supply chains, which would further drive up prices. And is the Canadian border ever going to be open so the lumber prices can drop? So take a look at this and understand there's some hedges against inflation. That's why precious metals are hard to come by right now as far as physical delivery is concerned. Also, what are you spending your money on? Do you have food stored up? I would suggest if you haven't ever done that, do it. It's just insurance against this kind of stuff that we're seeing happen. In addition to that, one of my, probably my favorite articles today, and I love this, I love these provocative headlines. Okay, it says Dr. Fauci has admits that he was lying about masks and vaccines. And okay, we know that. But here, that was coming to us from Big League Politics. But here is one that you may not have heard of, and these go together. Coming to us from the National File, Washington State businesses to give free booze to people who get vaccinated. Okay, now listen to this. Now, this might appeal to some folks. Free donuts and now free alcohol to those who get one of the controversial vaccines. The the move says, in a move, the Liquor and Cannabis Board says they hope will encourage more people to vaccinate themselves against COVID-19. Go get drunk and get the vaccine, or which order are you going to do that in? Lessen your inhibitions so you take a vaccine that is extremely sketchy. Then, on the flip side of this, this coming to us from Technocracy News, OSHA, employers may be liable for any adverse reaction from mandated vaccines. So the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, releases this blockbuster statement on these gene therapy shots. The Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration has put employers on notice that should they attempt to require employees to receive injections of the experimental COVID-19 gene therapy, resulting adverse reactions will be considered work-related, for which the employer may be held liable. OSHA released this new guidance on April 20th under a frequently asked questions section of its website having to do with COVID-19 safety compliance. You can read it there for yourself. Again, Technocracy News. So OSHA is... So these businesses, if you think they're doing the right thing, the government isn't doing things in your best interest, okay? They're trying to set you up so you're the one that's going to have to pay for all this. Don't get the jab. All right. I want to jump back to the international front here for a second. Two things. Number one. China seeks to run global database for vaccine passports. This is coming to us from Technocracy News. On March 8th, China launched its domestic vaccine passport. Following day on March 9th, China urged the World Health Organization to allow Beijing to build and run a global database for vaccine passports. What could go wrong with China running the global database for vaccine passports? Huh. What could go wrong with that, right? The totalitarian regime that shuts down websites of people that disagree with them. And this is where the leftists and the Marxists here in America are going. They don't want any dissent because they really can't win these arguments intellectually, so they have to shut down dissent. And now, China, wanting to monopolize the database to obviously mine intelligence on every human being on the earth. Probably part of their bioweapons program to create weapons based on biosignatures. In other words, based on your ethnicity. And isn't it interesting that one of their chief rivals, India, had such a hard hit here recently? I find that fascinating. So... this is part of control mechanisms being put in place. If you have the ability to control where people go through the passport, track where they go, You can also do what's called relationship mapping, figure out who they're talking to. And you don't even need to know what they're saying. All you need to know is who they're talking to. And then you can begin to identify groups of people who are Christians and resisting this stuff. Which brings us to the next article on the national front, or the international front. The NWO report, shock video, another pastor arrested in Canada following anti-lockdown church service. Canadian authorities on an intimidation crusade against Christians to send a message that the state is in control. Arrested another pastor following a church service on Sunday held in defiance of Canada's lockdown orders. Pastor Tim Stevens of Fairview Baptist Church in Calgary. This is all happening in that Calgary area, by the way. Is seen on video being detained by Alberta Health Services and the Calgary Police in front of his wife and crying children. Wow. And the message out there to all law enforcement out listening to Patriot Radio today is, what happens if you're ordered to do that here in America? Will you comply and arrest somebody in front of their crying children because they held a church service? And yes, that is a legitimate question, because this is actually happening in a Western country that, by the way, has a charter of rights that says you can't do that. And we have even a better system where we have constitutionally protected rights, because our rights come from God. No man can take them away. What will people do? What will people do? Well, on the other side of the coin, some good news coming to us from the New American on this issue. Court order prohibits permanently Governor Newsom from locking down California churches. Well, how about that? The U.S. District Court for the Central District of California has issued a permanent injunction against Governor Gavin Newsom and the state of California from enforcing draconian lockdowns against places of worship in the state. The order amounts to the first statewide injunction against government restrictions against houses of worship in the country. The case is Harvest Rock Church Incorporated versus Gavin Newsom. So, you're not supposed to lock down churches, because this issue was settled, actually, when the Danbury Baptists wrote a letter to Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States, and asked him, will you interfere in the business of the church? In other words, asking, is your intent for the federal government to interfere into the business of the church? And Thomas Jefferson wrote back, there is a separation of church and state. The government will never interfere in the business of the church. Go read the letters for yourself, both of them. That's been flipped on its head and twisted by Marxists in this country. But you can't get away from the plain language of the letter. Government was never supposed to be involved in any of the affairs of the church. Lockdowns like this are doing exactly that. Prevention of worship, prevention of communion, prevention of gathering together and praying for people. That clearly interferes in the affairs of the church. And now churches are beginning to be vindicated here in America. Praise God for that. All right. Let's move next to Seattle. I don't talk about Seattle very often. I don't like talking about Seattle very often. It's kind of like a different state. Should be a different state. This coming to us from Bearing Arms. Seattle Times discovers gun rights are not just for white folks. That's the title of the article. The bottom line is that having the right to bear arms protects the imago Dei, the image of God. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. It's protecting the image of God. That was the intent behind the right to bear arms. And some folks in Seattle, thank goodness, are beginning to wake up to that. Perhaps they had an extra latte that morning. I don't know. All right. Moving on in the national front. Corrupted or corruptible? Judge dismisses election lawsuit but prepares for appeal. It's coming to us from WorldNet Daily. A Michigan judge admitting that the 2020 presidential election results in Antrim County may have been corrupted or corruptible, still has dismissed a lawsuit over a new audit. And this is kind of like what's going on down in Arizona. They don't want to give the password. They know they're on the cusp of losing everything. And so we need to push right now, push as hard as we can, get that information out. Get that information out. All right. Also, I want to jump back to the international front for a second. Coming to us from Jihad Watch, Recep Erdogan came out with a quote, and I want to read this quote to you and then give you some context here. The quote is, "Virus of Islamophobia is turning Europe into open-air prison for Muslims." He is essentially once again calling, now this is very veiled, but this is the context of it. He is calling for jihad in Europe. He's not saying that word, but he's essentially saying, break out of your prison, brothers and sisters. Europe, this is the exact quote, "Europe, where 35 million Muslims live today, including 6 million Turks, is increasingly turning into an open-air prison for our brothers and sisters," he claimed, without elaborating on what he meant. "I would not be surprised if we don't see increased jihadi attacks in Europe here over the next couple of weeks," because he's trying to signal that he is the next caliph and begin to foment jihad in Europe. So let's see what happens over the next couple of weeks, see if that bears out, okay? All right. Coming back to the national front, CNN lied. That's not a surprise. Okay, so this coming to us from The New American. We know about CNN and how in one of a recent Project Veritas videos, CNN technical director Charlie Chester admitted on hidden camera that the network engaged in propaganda to remove Trump from the presidency. Not surprisingly, now CNN is attacking the John Birch Society, saying that, quote, "The John Birch Society fought tooth and nail against the civil rights movement using anti-communism as cover for racism." Well, on May 15th, the John Birch Society published a statement predicting that they would try to make that claim, because they made it against almost everybody, they being the left. And it was just not true. And so CNN once more is trying to smear organizations that are organizing against the communist takeover, attempted takeover here in the United States of America. This is a communist revolution unfolding in America, an attempted coup, an attempted communist revolution in this country. John Birch Society is organizing people against it and fighting and being successful. And of course, now the gauge of success is when CNN says, okay, we got to start attacking them. So they should take that as a very good sign. All right. Moving now to the local front, I have a very important announcement. After much prayer and fasting, we are going to be starting a new ministry here in Spokane and a new school here in Spokane County. On Fire Ministries and Kingdom Christian Academy. We are also going to be doing worship in the park, 4 o'clock at the clock tower at Riverfront Park. We're going to be doing some evangelism training and then also doing worship and praying for folks. So please come down to the clock tower at Riverfront Park this Saturday. Love to see you there. And God is moving, and nothing is going to stop that. No schemes of the enemy are going to stop that. It's just not going to happen. God is moving. We're going to be doing worship in the park coming up here on the 22nd at the clock tower, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We're going to do evangelism first, and then we're also going to do worship after that. In addition to that, we have a lot of events coming up with this new ministry. And if you want to see this, the calendar, I'm going to be making this available to a lot of you out there via social media, Private text messages, however we can get it out to you, we're going to get it out to you. I really want to highlight the fact that right now we're seeing revival here in this place, in this area. Spokane County is just ripe for this. So really looking forward to how God is going to use us, how he's going to move here. So all of our normal things that we've been involved with in the past, we're going to be continuing into the future. Men's Bible study, youth group, end time study, worship practice, all those kind of things, where a lot of people kind of come in, even with worship practice, people come in and just listen and pray. It's awesome, and we do a lot of prayer on Saturdays as well. All these things are going to continue, and we'd love you to be a part of them. So we are going to continue with a lot of these things this week. It's not going to be like 2 weeks down the road. It's going to be this week. So just going to go through these very quickly. For those of you that want to know what's about to happen here with the new On Fire Ministry and Kingdom Christian Academy. So we are going to be doing youth group in the park. They're going to be meeting on Wednesday night. We're also going to be doing our end times study Wednesday night, 331 North Fancher Road. You want to remember that one, 331 North Fancher, because the following night we're going to be doing our worship practice there as well. And we welcome folks to come and join us and pray with us. We're also going to be doing Royal Rangers that night at the same location. Our women's group is going to be at a private house. If you want to go to that, please text me and I will, or message me and I will try to get that to you. And then our Saturday morning 9 a.m. prayer and 10 a.m. prophetic class is also going to be at 331 North Fancher Road. And again, later that day at 4 p.m., so Saturday at 4 p.m., we're going to be doing worship in the park at the clock tower. So if you miss some of that, send me a message via social media. I'll get out to you. And just blessings to everybody that's been praying for us and joining us in this wonderful new ministry God is birthing here in Spokane County. We love you guys. And it's going to be so awesome what God is about to do. So awesome. We had seven baptisms last Sunday. It's incredible. Seven. And it ranged in age from the old to the middle generations to the young generations. It was beautiful because it takes three generations to establish something, an Abraham generation, an Isaac generation, and a Jacob generation. And to see baptism spanning all that was fantastic. And in fact, after one of the baptisms, there was even a wedding proposal, which was awesome. So please join us. We look forward to expanding the kingdom of Jesus Christ with all of you. All right, that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you again to everybody praying for us. And make sure you check out Patriot Radio on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon. And it is replayed every Tuesday and Thursday night at 9 p.m. across the entire ACN network, which includes Eastern Washington, North Idaho, Northeast Oregon, which someday will be Liberty State. All right. It's my pleasure to introduce today my great friend, a freedom fighter extraordinaire, Tom Dewey, CEO of the American Policy Center. Tom, it's great to have you back on the show. How are you doing, my friend?
Thank you, Matt. I'm really doing well, and sounds like you're doing terrific, too. I'm really pleased to hear all the successes that you're having there.
Yeah, it's been pretty amazing what God is doing. So I'm trying to keep up with how ridiculous. So you called this. I remember when we first had you on the show, oh, like 10 years ago now. You called this stuff, and now we're seeing some of the more ridiculous things becoming mainstreamed, whatever that means. So if you could, catch the listeners up about what's going on. What should we be paying attention to right now with this movement of the radical left?
Yeah, they really feel, I think they've got it in the bag, and so they are you know, getting much more open and more honest about it, where they used to hide it all under the excuse of, well, we're just trying to protect the environment and help the poor, and, you know, who can be against any of that? And now we're down to the Great Reset. We've gone through Agenda 21, which they told us, you know, 30 years ago, that it was a comprehensive blueprint to reorganize human society. Then they went to Agenda 2030, and they just this time they had more details, is all it was. And we're going to do this by 2030. 2030 seems to be the date that they're aiming at. And then we got the Green New Deal. And what's really interesting about that is that they, you know, they keep talking about being, again, everything is based on protect the environment, protecting about climate change is the rule for all of it. And yet they talk about complete reorganization of our economy. And that has to be done in order to protect the environment. So now they have really come out and gave us the what they're calling the Great Reset. This is everything. And again, it's all based on climate change. And what really is interesting about this, we went through this whole pandemic and all this lockdown, and you know, you've seen what government is able to do. How do they change the economy? Take a good look what they did. Shut businesses down, kept us home, aren't allowed to socialize with each other, and so forth. You talk about control. Well, what's really interesting about this, the Great Reset is basically the brainchild of Klaus Schwab, who is the founder and head of the World Economic Forum. And what I really love to point out here, he put out this book called COVID-19, The Great Reset. And what he says in this book is that what they have learned from the COVID lockdown and you know, all the things mixed with this pandemic is we can use the same tactics to save the environment. And the line they're using now is that we have to lower the climate change curve, or the climate curve, you know. So they're using all these tactics. Well, what's really interesting about this, the lockdown started about March, April, and they're saying this whole situation was created based on what they learned there. Well, he put out a book, as I said, COVID-19, The Great Reset, the blueprint for what they want to do. This book came out in August. Now, I've written three books, and I know, first of all, you got to come up with a concept. You got to do your research. You've got to then write it. Then you have to get it laid out. You got to find a printer. You got to find a publisher to get it out there. You can't do that in 5 months, you know? And they've come up with this whole thing about what they learned from it. In other words, what I'm saying is this was all pre-planned of what they intended to do, to completely reorganize human society as they promised 30 years ago with Agenda 21, and that is what the Great Reset is.
So this is clearly Marxism. You know, the abolition of private property, abolition of the family, abolition of the borders, abolition of all morality. This is just an outgrowth of Marxism. And really, sustainability itself is Marxism. And if you could go into that a little bit, you've written about it recently, and I think it's important because people will say, oh, no, I think we should have sustainability, not knowing they're actually supporting Marxism.
Yeah. Well, as I said, for all these 30 years, as we talked about Agenda 21 and all the different things that as it leaped to, and they have, you know, they talk about, first of all, there was the logo of Agenda 21, the three connecting circles, which we called the three E's. And those three E's were economic prosperity, that dealt with the economy, and social equity. We now know that as social justice that affects every aspect of our lives. And the third E was ecological integrity. And I have said for 30 years what they mean that for ecological integrity, that's the excuse for all of it. I have had them say to me, environmentalists and so forth, say, it doesn't matter how many rights you think you have if you don't have a planet to stand on. In other words, it's all built on fear. And so the fear factor has been the ecological part of it. We're damaging the earth, and we've got to stop that. and they have pushed and pushed and pushed these programs to where they want zero economic growth. That's one of the things that was talked about when it came out with Agenda 2030. And, everything stops. They used to talk about we need to learn to live on less. Well, they really mean less. In fact, Klaus Schwab has said of the Great Reset that no one will own anything and they'll be much happier about it. That is an amazing statement, that everything we have, our food will be provided by government, our housing will be provided by government, transportation will be provided by government. Everything is that. You will have no freedom of choice. And no hope of having any kind of reaching goals for your own life and living a life as you choose. And they talk about, first of all, we have social justice, then we have the global commons, and then we have, of course, the environmental part, and then we have what they are calling a global religion. And that teaches everybody, all lead, go in the same direction and basically worship the creation, not the creator, of the earth. So this is all part of it.
It is all part of it. And creating an idol out of creation, which is really, obviously what this is, and even giving it a name, Gaia, which they try to throw out there once in a while, ultimately is about controlling people, though. This is it's more than just the idolization of creation. It's about controlling people in every conceivable way. What are they dreaming up now, and what is Klaus Schwab, a.k.a. Dr. Evil, saying now in reference to the next 2 years, 10 years?
Well, they're looking at every single aspect of our society, massive change, the outright elimination of our free market system, the sources of our income, the jobs that we have, what will work, and so forth. Private property, of course, will disappear. Somehow, that's racist to have private property, and personal privacy will totally be eliminated. And I'll explain in a few minutes how that's going to be used against us. And as I said, your individual choices. We already see the attacks on our family and our children. Children no longer belong to the parents. They are wards of the state. And you look at I could go on for hours about the education system and what they're doing there. When you start hearing that you're not allowed to know anything that they're telling your child in the classroom, you're not allowed to see the tests they're giving, the textbooks, well, they don't have books anymore, but the curriculum that they're giving, not allowed to look at that, that should be a number one warning to you that something nefarious is going on there. But they're looking at, of course, the educational process. They're looking at our sources of food. They're looking at our housing and how that will operate, how the cities are developed, how farms are run, our health care system, our national sovereignty is an absolute target for this. This is all globalism. You have individual nations, and then you have differences of opinion. That's not allowed. And of course, then we have to also change our system of government. So all of those things are what they're targeting. And as they came together with this, you had, these organizations have been working towards this for decades. The United Nations is the center of the storm. The World Health Organization now sets the rules for global health policy. The World Bank and the International Monetary Fund are controlling the money and the trade. And, of course, the World Economic Forum now has created the blueprint for how it all fits together. But what's scary about this, you think, well, this is just the ravings of lunatics, and it's too crazy, and nobody's going to pay any attention to it. But what you have, once they announced this Great Reset, I mean, it just shot up right now. Everybody's looking at this. That's because they have prepared for this for decades. They know exactly what they're doing with it. And immediately you had some world leaders and heads of states. You had banks from around the globe, philanthropic organizations, foundations, non nonprofit organizations, global corporations. This is the amazing thing, the global corporations that are all jumping into this. If you want to know an example of how this operates and why they're helping with this, I have said for years that public-private partnerships between global corporations and government is not free enterprise. What you have is the corporations get to help make the rules that will help put their competition out of business. Meanwhile, they get tax breaks, they get all kinds of goodies at the front of the line, and this is part of it. And you've seen this with the lockdown. Local businesses shut down while Walmart and Target and these kind of places can stay open, and they've had some of the best, one of the best years of their history. And now you've got Wall Street getting involved and the Federal Reserve getting involved in this. And one of the things with the Great Reset that they detail is in this plan is to create global interdependence. They cannot afford some kind of economic system or a national sovereignty or whatever breaking loose and doing well while their little plan doesn't. And so they've got to change that. They've got to have global interdependence. They've got to have change our system of government and so forth. So let me explain to you how this is going to affect everybody individually. As I said, talking about personal privacy and so forth, this is what is so frightening about this. The situation is, you know, everybody has a little card at the bank or at the, you know, at the grocery store and so forth, and it follows the purchases that you make, and it gives you a discount. Everybody's all excited to get that discount, and that also says what you are purchasing. And they have set up your carbon footprint to decide whether you are following the rules and you're living in properly in the society. If you're buying meat, but you're a beef, and you're not buying enough vegetables, well, maybe you're not living in properly in the situation. And where I bring that up, the whole Great Reset is based on climate change. You now have Wall Street is now looking at how investments are made, and they're saying that any investment that they will only make investments in companies that can prove that they are sustainable and, climate change, so forth. And so now you've got companies rushing to fit that. I'll give you one prime example of how these corporations are twisting this around. I saw the other day in the grocery one of the top two brands of toilet paper has on the cover of their packaging now that three trees are planted for every tree cut to make this product. What they're saying is we are sustainable, so they can now, you know, be invested in the market in this. So, you know, these are some of the ways that they're doing this. Every company is going to have to prove that they're sustainable, or Wall Street is not going to invest in them. And what that means then, first of all, you have fewer products and to choose from. Everything is going to be electric cars and the global or the wind power and solar power and all that, end of oil and everything that goes there. But you personally, how this will affect you, as they watch your personal purchases and how you live and how you invest your money and how you get around, where you travel to and so forth, all become part of your personal profile. That profile then becomes an effect on your credit report. And if you're not living properly, according to the Great Reset, your credit rating will go down. Then you can't get loans for a home or to buy a car or various other things. You will be shut out of society. This is the incredible plan, diabolical plan that they have to put this all in place by 2030, and you've already got major investment firms on Wall Street and Bank of America and others that are already starting to look at this and moving that. And that example I gave of the one product shows you how they are moving on it.
We have this push right now to change our mindset. That was part of Klaus Schwab's whole thing. We need to change the mindset of how we look. And what he's really talking about is we need to change the mindset of freedom and liberty. They've talked about us eating ground bugs and synthetic beef and all this stuff, right? And of course, it's just us that's going to do that. You know, the guys who know better than we do, they're going to eat whatever they want to. They're going to fly in Lear jets wherever they want to. It doesn't matter. But us peons, you know, we have to live as serfs and Soylent Green as people, right? That this is where we're headed with all this. And just 10 years ago, it would have seemed farcical. But these people really believe this. I remember I brought this up the other day and somebody said, do you believe that? And I said, no, I don't. These people really believe this is the direction that we should head. Everybody living in an 800 square foot apartment, if that big, 400 square foot would be more ideal for them. And eating ground bugs and synthetic beef, that's really living. And you don't own anything, but you're still happy in your little virtual reality cubicle.
Exactly. And what we are finding now, and we've been talking about all these years about smart growth and the development of our communities where they are really attacking private property, they want to move people off the rural lands, they want to move people out of the suburbs and into the downtown area, so they're getting these high rises. And they build more and more and more of these. Some communities are nothing but huge canyons. Well, eventually, you begin, if you've put, you know, one of the things they do with smart growth, they did this in Spokane and in other places, Portland, where they put a line around the city, and they say no growth will take place outside of this line, and because that's urban sprawl, and that's a terrible thing. Well, then you begin to run out of space. So what begins to happen? You can only build the high rises so high, and then the air gets too thin to breathe. So, you know, what they start to do is make the apartments smaller and smaller and smaller. And, you know, this is one of the things that's already happening in Portland. If I remember my numbers right, over a 20-year period where they've had this line around there and they aren't allowed to grow outside of that, the population inside that line has grown by, I believe I'm right on this, 800%. This is people living on top of people. And the other part of sustainable policy is that every community will provide all of its needs itself, that you will no longer need to have all these trucks on the highway, which are polluting the air, to bring in service goods and services to you. They will anything you have will be grown in your community. And somehow they think these little neighborhood gardens and so forth are going to do that. And I've said many times when I speak to audiences about this that if you like bananas and you live in an area where they won't grow, kiss them goodbye. This is again, live on less, give up. And as you look at these crazy policies that are going to affect our energy needs, going to affect our industries, going to affect our transportation, our whole agriculture area, and everything's designed to kill all of that. At what point do we just move back into the caves and live that way? Because this is where they're headed.
Are there ground bugs in the caves?
Until we eat them, yes.
Right.
Then there'll be a shortage.
Then there'll be scarcity. Oh, gracious. I can't even believe we're talking about some of this stuff right now. Let's talk a little bit about privacy. They are going to use privacy as a weapon of sorts. If you could describe what their plans are in... It really doesn't involve privacy at all. It involves knowing everything about us at the most intimate details.
Yeah. Well, everything we do, on social media, everything you post is kept in a data file. They could bring anything you've posted over the last 30 years, and it didn't go back that far. But anything you've done could be brought up and used against you. And your energy use. We've talked about smart meters, putting all these meters on people's homes, and this tells them exactly how much energy you're using. They can tell. When you've got one of these meters on your home, basically how many people you have living in that home, what your lifestyle is when you come, when you go, and so all of that becomes part of the data bank on you. And they want to go to digital currency so that we have no money. Everything is online. Now, break the rules and wait for some bureaucrat to press a button and everything you own disappears. And they just go, oh, well, and what are you going to do about it? And this is total government control of every aspect of our life. And, they will control the energy use. They will control the what you can purchase, if you can purchase. And, free enterprise is out the window, and personal choice is gone. And cameras will be everywhere. They already are. A lot of places, you can hardly move without being on a camera somewhere. And this is all part of it. The interesting thing about all of these things we've just said is already happening in communist China. So
interesting.
Yeah.
It is already happening in communist China. And what I found fascinating is they're now exporting it to places like Vancouver, BC, where Chinese-owned companies are now implementing these same things in their businesses. So regular people come into a Chinese restaurant owned by the Chinese Communist Party, all of a sudden they're part of this and they don't even realize it because it's in a Western country.
Well, we've already found out that the Chinese are buying up thousands and thousands of acres of American land and parts of land that are farms, parts of land that are – we've got packing plants that produce our food owned by the Chinese. And on and on and on it goes. And there's a place up in New York called China City, where they're using this ED5 program to come in and get American money to help them invest in this, and they're building a whole city there, and there will be an office for each Chinese agency. Each communist agency will have an office in this city, and they had a meeting. This is back in about 2014, and they people were there in this meeting. They were discussing what this was going to be, and somebody asked, well, can Americans live here? And the room goes silent, and they said, well, you can stay in our hotels and come to our amusement park. This is in America. Americans aren't allowed to live in China City, and these are starting to spring up around the country.
That's incredible. So in the last 4 minutes we have left, actually 3 minutes that we have left, if you could, where can people go to get more information? Where can they go to get involved? And what should we be doing right now to fight back against some of this stuff?
Yeah. Well, first of all, at our website, AmericanPolicy.org, the article that I wrote on the Great Reset is there. And so you can read all these details I've just given you. And we've got a huge archive of articles we've written over the last 30 years about Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, and the Great and the Green New Deal, and all of that. So you can get all that background information. What we have been doing over this last year is really focusing, fighting on the local level. People get absolutely overwhelmed thinking, how in the world can I get involved and do anything about this? It's too big. We can't stop it. The truth of the matter is, and I'm seeing it spring up by other groups as well across the country, but we've been on this from the beginning, is fighting at the local level. What I've called is taking your community. Focus on your community. Don't worry about next door. Don't worry about cross state. Focus on your community and focus on protecting the three pillars of freedom: free enterprise, private property, and individuals' choice, and make your community a freedom pod. We've got a manual on there. We've done so far 8 webinars, one with you, and we got more coming, and we're teaching people how to organize and how to fight back, and we're going to keep going, and it's growing.
super awesome, all the things that you've been doing over the last, two decades, tirelessly. What I think people get caught up in is they see, hey, this is the enemy's plans, but they always think the enemy's plans are going to come to fruition. These people that want to destroy our republic, our way of life. But really, when we've been standing up, we've been winning, we just have to stand up. And last 30 seconds, give an encouraging word to folks out there who are just feeling kind of, what do I do? It just seems like it's impossible.
Yeah, absolutely. We got 75 million people who are brand new to this fight, who have awakened, and we've got to keep them involved. And we are winning when people are standing up. And I'm getting more calls from people who are saying, what can I do? They've awakened to this. And a lot of elected officials and so forth. We are winning battles. I've got a great example in our webinar number 8 from Louisiana of some great activists there. Go on our website and listen to that website and listen to that webinar, and you will hear an incredible story, and it's working, and we're going to win this battle. I feel more energized than I ever did before.
Amen. Tom DeWeese, American Policy Center, thanks so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today, and God bless you. Keep up the fight. It's just so great to have you on. We'll have you on again here in a few weeks.
Great. I look forward to it. Thanks.
All right. Tom DeWeese, American Policy Center. Go check it out. His latest 2 articles are fantastic about kind of the next steps these guys are taking. And again, Dr. Evil, a.k.a. Klaus Schwab, his just listening to this guy and his new book, The Fourth Industrial Revolution. First of all, don't go buy it. These people don't need money. Don't go buy it. Go to a library or something. Don't go buy it. Just check out in their own words what these people believe. It's crazy town. 400 square foot apartments with ground bugs and synthetic beef grown in the petri dish. It's disgusting. Anyway, want to end the show today again reminding you of our new ministry, On Fire Ministries and Kingdom Christian Academy. Brand new to Spokane County. We're going to be doing worship in the park this Saturday at the clock tower, 4 o'clock. Really look forward to seeing everybody there. And if you aren't getting involved or you haven't heard about what's going on, revival is here in Spokane County and Washington, and we are seeing so many lives transformed. Come on down, and we're going to have some evangelism right before we have worship. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.